Okay. Well, let's talk about the subject matter at hand. I want to apologize because this is not going to be your traditional Easter teaching or Easter message. It's not going to be a traditional one. I sense that everybody in this room, you know why we're here today. You know, this is about the what? Y'all got to talk to me. I do want an extra mic. This is about the resurrection. Okay? And so I sense in this room that everybody likely in this room, we believe 2,000 plus years ago that something did happen. Everybody say something happened. Everybody say something did happen. And so I don't think that's the issue this morning, that I have to make a case for something really happened. Something actually did happen 2,000 years ago. Today I want to talk about, I actually want to start with this question. And this looks like a judge. I'm sure it looks like a judge. And I was going to put this on, but I didn't want to go viral on YouTube. I was really going to put this on. I had a change of heart. Plus, I see we're streaming, and I just didn't want to be that guy today. Is that all right? But if I had this on, and young lady, can you come up for a second? I know we never met. I promise I'm a nice guy. I never hurt a fly. And I would ask you, you guys fill in the blank. I would likely ask you if you are going to testify. Everybody say testify. If you were going to testify, I would say something like, do you promise to tell the truth? The? Come on, church. The what? And nothing but the truth. So help you, God. What would you say? All right, and then you will go on to testify. Y'all clap your hands for her. And do you know, guys, they are trying to take, or they are attempting to take away God out of oaths. Imagine, do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So, well, that won't even make it. Do you not, y'all know God is under attack, right? They're going to lose every time, but one nation, imagine if you take away under God. So to the persons that are responsible for removing God from oaths and nation, how do you expect the truth without God? Do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and so help you God? Everybody say truth. Truth. Y'all know God is truth. The gospel is truth that needs to be what? Shared. We need to testify. Everybody say testify. Testify. When we testify, you guys, we're going to need help from on high to deal with the negative consequences and backlash of telling and defending truth. So you got that right. I promise to tell the truth and nothing but the truth, the whole truth. You're going to need God to help you in a day like today. Amen. Everybody say, so help me, God. I sense in this room, guys, you believe that Jesus died on the cross. I can do a survey. Raise your hand if you believe Jesus died on the cross. Because if you didn't raise your hand, then we would flip the service and offer Jesus to you. So that's not this teaching today. But guys, in order to testify what this young lady promised to do, she said, I will testify about the truth. So help me God. Guys, you're going to need God to testify in 2023. You're going to need 1 Peter 3:15 says, but in your hearts, we are those that will honor the truth. We will honor the truth, but in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord, which is truth, as holy. Always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you in the barbershop, at the dinner table, at school, in the salon, at the grocery store. Everybody say anyone. Anyone. Be prepared to anyone to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason. Why are you so happy? Why are you so hopeful? Why are you so bubbly? Why do you have peace? Why do you have peace when it's so much drama around you? Everybody say, let's be ready. Everybody say, let's be ready. Let's be ready to give a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is on you or in you? Everybody say, it's in me. Everybody say, hope is in me. There's a lot going on in the world. Shootings, tornadoes, arrests, trials. For that hope that's in you. But guys, everybody say, I have hope on the inside of me. Yet, do it with gentleness and respect. Yes, we believe what we believe. But when we share the gospel, let's be patient. The Bible also suggests we should be patient sharing our faith. Y'all know what we believe is crazy. Y'all know that, right? Think about it. Think about what today represents. It is crazy. I mean, am I the only one that feels like this is way out there? Amen. Think about the series of events that we were told, that what we read about. By the way, it is true. Acts 1 says, but you will receive, so this crazy faith, this crazy story, guys, we need the Holy Ghost. We need the Holy Ghost sharing this. Amen? It's a lot. Acts 1 says, let's read it together. Acts 1 verse 8 says, but you will receive power, read with me, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness. You will testify in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, so you have context. So you have the disciples looking at Jesus. He's basically, this is really a farewell speech. The last living human beings seeing Jesus on earth. And this is what he said to them. All right. First of all, he was leaving them. And before he left them, the last few words, he was lifted up. And a cloud took him out of their sight. This was supernatural in itself to see Jesus. First of all, this was about 40 days after Jesus was resurrected, which is a miracle in itself. Jesus died, and 40 days afterwards, they are still looking at Jesus. Ain't that something? That's something. And so then he is basically floating in the air. He is lifted up. I'm assuming this is how it looked. He levitated, and all of a sudden, poof, he was gone. Amazing. That's encouraging. I think this sight is encouraging and probably a sad occasion too, because it's like, Jesus, where are you going? Bruh, where are you going? You gonna leave us here to deal with all of this mess? But that's why he left the Holy Spirit. Amen. You are going to need, guys, we need the Holy Ghost to tell this crazy story. Amen? Amen? Amen. It's a whole new meaning to crazy praise. Amen? Crazy praise, you're right. It's a crazy praise, it's a crazy story. But guys, I don't know why I'm saying this, but if you've ever felt like these disciples, first of all, have you ever felt Jesus being so close but yet so far away? Because we as humans, we live by sight. We want to see things. Seeing is believing. Amen? And so we want to see so well, we get extra help to see. Amen? We are obsessed with sight. We want to see clearly. But yet, Jesus is so close, but sometimes we feel like he is out of sight. Have you ever felt like that? Like, Jesus, I know you're close. God, I know you're close, but I can't see you with my retina. But it's okay. Everybody say, God's got me. All right, y'all okay? I am in no rush today. Mom says it takes about 4 or 5 hours for the collard greens to do its thing. So I think that gives me time to take my time and teach this today. So is that okay? Y'all gonna eat good today? I just had to say that because somebody in this room always says that I talk about food every teaching. And I just want to let that person win. Guys, you're going to need power in a day like today to testify. Many people think the resurrection is made up. And there was a conspiracy to invent such a story. Most people actually believe in higher power, okay? And so, which means that that higher power is what? It's more powerful. It's more powerful. It's let me put it like this. Y'all hear me say this all the time. This higher power is immaterial. It's spaceless. It's timeless. It's stronger. It's supernatural. Everybody say supernatural. It is more powerful than they are. Alphys, why are you talking about this? Why are you talking about this? Because it's all about worldview. And today is almost personal. Everybody say personal. Because the enemy is trying to take many of our family members out spiritually. Amen. Because if you don't believe in the God of the Bible, then anything goes. Make sense? If you don't believe in the God of the Bible, anything goes. Amen? But why do people that say, I believe in a higher power, they also try to limit that higher power from being responsible for accounts like the virgin birth? So you're going to say, I believe that something is more powerful than me, but then you put limitations on that higher power to say, you're powerful enough to be higher than me, but not powerful enough to send Jesus to earth, take on flesh, to be murdered, crucified, and then resurrected. So your higher power is not so higher power. Does that make sense? Makes sense? So no other major religion claims the resurrection of its founder. Think about it. No other major religion claims a resurrection of its founder. That's the difference between what we believe as Christians and what others believe. Our God, Jesus, was resurrected. Amen? That's what we believe. No other. Listen, you can check, you can fact check, and you can come and say, bro, I think you were off. But no other, because our God is spaceless, timeless, immaterial. He's powerful. He's personal. He's holy. Everybody say, God is holy. God is better than me. He's better than you. He's better than us, but he's not just better than us. He's other than us. Everybody say, he's other than us. So if it's true, God created the earth. Ta-da. If it's true, God created the earth. An impact event. Everybody say impact event. Like the resurrection is easy. If God can do this, raising Jesus from the dead is easy. If he can do this, something out of nothing, raising Jesus from the dead is easy. Very easy. Can you do something for me, Elder Jerry? Just throw that ball over here anywhere you want on the stage. Just throw it. All right. No, wait. Notice what's happening? And who's doing it? Throw earth over here. Clap your hands. It's pretty good. I wouldn't want you on my team. Look at this earth. Look at this. And let's see how long we wait for this to go back. Go back over here to Elder Jerry, Elder Wright. Y'all going to be looking all day. You know why this won't return to the sender? Why? Talk to me. Because this is not powerful enough. How did this get over here? Talk to me. How did this get over here, guys? He threw it. Who threw it? Jerry threw it. He threw it. Guys, it had to be something that was more powerful than this to cause this to be over here. Again, when I say God is spaceless, he is outside of space. When I say he is timeless, he is outside of time. When I say he's immaterial, he is not made of material. God cannot really be explained. He can never be explained. Only discovered. So, guys, It had to be something powerful, more. That's why this can't just scoot right back over here, because it is not powerful enough. Nature is not powerful enough to create itself. Matter can't create matter. It has to be something outside of it to create it. Make sense? Alpheus came, he looks like his mama and his daddy, but somebody made them and somebody made them. And it had to be somebody spaceless, timeless, immaterial, powerful, personal, holy. It had to be something other than this to cause this to be. It had to be something other than this to cause this to be. So guys, that's easy. In Genesis, that's where we get this understanding. Everybody say Genesis first, then Golgotha second. What is Golgotha? I'm trying to figure out even how to spell it. Golgotha. Y'all try to spell it, all right? But let me say it like this. Creation, everybody say creation. Creation. Before the cross. So if we can get it right in Genesis 1, John 3:16 is easy. If we have a mix up in Genesis, we're gonna be mixed up in John 3:16. It's going to be hard to believe John 3:16. If the enemy can do like he did in Genesis, what did he do with Adam and Eve? He said, he tricked them by this statement, this question. He said, did God really say? Did God really say? And so in John 3:16, the enemy is like, well, is God really capable of orchestrating this virgin birth? And then this man that has flesh like me, also being God, being raised from the dead, like it's like this, he gets you in this web of confusion. Because again, if you don't believe in the God of the Bible, anything goes. Any lifestyle goes. Any type of behavior goes. Why am I not shooting everybody in this room? I know that sounds bad. It is bad. But how do I know it's bad? Because of the God of the Bible. Amen? So if it's true God created the earth, y'all okay? I am. Let me speed up just a little bit. Let me go 25 miles per hour. Is that okay? I smell the greens all the way from here to Spartanburg. Ooh, they smell good. An impact event like the resurrection is easy. Everybody say impact event. Can you guys tell me where you were November the 28th, 2012? Where were you? Give me details. Raise your hand if you can't remember where you were November the 28th, 2012. Raise your hand. You can't remember. That's almost every hand in the room. Guess what? Who can remember? I can remember. Yes, God remembers, but I can remember. I was sitting on a keyboard at Anderson University in the Fine Arts Center, and my phone kept going off. And then the sequence of events after that was an impact event. Because eventually those phone calls would tell me somebody was in a car wreck on my way to the hospital, and so many days later, death. That's an impact event. Where were you on September the 11th, 2001? I may get the mic out on this one. Where were you on September the 11th, 2001? Do you remember?
At work.
Give me, all right, I know the camera, I know you're listening, but this is where Brother Lawrence was, September the 11th, 2001.
At work.
Any more details?
Working.
Anybody else can remember where you were 2000? September the 11th, 2001. That's over 20 years ago, right?
Yeah. I was in Hallmark in Clemson, downtown Clemson. It's now disappeared. And somebody was talking about planes flying into the trade towers.
Now we have a little bit more specific. So y'all see this impact. Everybody say impact event. Do you remember where you were November the 22nd, 1963? Raise your hand. November the 22nd, 1963. Do you remember where you were April 4th, 1968? Let me just give a title. Do you remember where you were the day that JFK was assassinated in this room? Raise your hand. Raise your hand if you remember. You remember now. Do you remember where you were the day that MLK was assassinated? I wasn't born yet. Do you remember where you were April 8th, 2023? Where you are April 8th, 2023? Guys, Christian and secular historians. Guys, don't go to sleep on this because this is so impactful. This is so compelling. This is exciting, what I'm about to read. Christian and secular scholars and historians like Josephus and Thomas Arnold reported the resurrection, and it was so impactful, we are still talking about it today. These historians were not reporting from the position of approving Christianity, but recorded factual events. They took pride in accuracy and credibility. This impact event was so supernatural, it would go down in history as the greatest impact event of all times. Everybody say something happened. Come on, guys, say something really did happen. And so what am I trying to say? When you have an impact event, think about it again. Over 2,000 years ago, something like what we believe happening. Think about the ESPN and the CNN of their times. After Jesus died, he revealed himself to hundreds of people. After he was crucified and resurrected, his miracles were still performed by Jesus. And first of all, it was the ladies that discovered Jesus in the tomb. You know why God put it that way? Because ladies talk a whole lot. He wanted the word to get out. That's why he revealed himself to ladies, because he know y'all would tell everybody. Girl, did you know? And I saw some angels. The stone was rolled. You know where the men were? They were scared. For the fear of the Jews. The man ran away. Everybody say it's true. First of all, it was men that was trusted to transcribe, to write down what God said. Write down the accounts. Amen? And so why would a man put something like that in the Bible that's so embarrassing? To give the credit to a woman of that day of discovering our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Do you know that's embarrassing? Why would we write? Listen, the Bible is full of embarrassing things. Amen? It is full. Listen, Jesus, his bloodline is full of embarrassing things. David, Noah, two prostitutes in the bloodline. Everybody say it's true. Everybody say it's true. Have you ever lied to make yourself look good or embellish the truth to make yourself look good? Raise your hand. Okay, thank you for telling the truth. I know you're telling the truth. Have you ever stretched the truth to make yourself look extremely bad? Raise your hand. You're lying. I get it. You're humble. You're not lying. You're actually humble. You're taking this humility posture, all right? Guys, what I do realize is I may finish this on the first Sunday. I'll be back on the first Sunday. Will you guys come back if I finish this on the first Sunday? I'm noticing something, all right? Will y'all come back on the first Sunday? Because it gets better and better. I'm not finished. But guys, what triggered today? What triggered today was a huge, we started off good. We started off, you have to always start in Genesis. And so we'll give you these slides. I created this for you guys. We started with perfection. Everybody say perfection. Perfection. Then came a problem. Everybody say a problem. If Adam and Eve were obedient, we wouldn't need the crucifixion and the resurrection. All they had to do was obey. Now, Jesus was still there. Don't get it twisted. I'm not saying there was no need for Jesus, but I'm saying if they were obedient, there would be no need for the resurrection and the crucifixion. Make sense? So we have, this is an alliteration here. I think you can remember this easily. Perfection, then a problem. Everybody say problem. Then a plan. Everybody say a plan. A plan to fix the problem. With who? With Jesus. So we have the perfection in the garden, a problem. We transition to this plan to fix the problem with the Prince of Peace who came to earth, virgin birth, amen. Then this innocent man who never sinned was murdered and he was punished. But the good thing about it, guys, do you not know God, Jesus, to me, is the definition of empathy. Empathy means I feel your pain. That's what I love being a part of what we are part of. Christianity is the best. Because we don't have to walk around looking condemned or feeling condemned. We don't have to walk around with our head hang low. We don't have to walk around broke, busted, and disgusted. We don't have to walk around like it's no hope. No hope. We don't have to walk around like it's no hope. What we are a part of, listen, empathy is not sympathy. And the reason why I think Jesus is the definition of empathy, because empathy means I feel your pain. Jesus, I sinned this week. Jesus was sinless, but he knows what it feels like to be tempted to sin. Amen. He knows what it feels like to be tempted to sin. We don't have to walk around feeling so guilty it paralyzes us to be the man of God, the ma'am of God that we can't be. It's because of today. It's because of the cross. It's because of empathy. It's because Jesus knows what it feels like to want to be bullied. Anybody in this room ever been bullied? The cross is about bullying. Jesus was bullied at the cross. Empathy. Jesus knows what it feels like for somebody to congratulate you in your face and then talk about you behind your back. You do know he was betrayed. He was given up to the murderers for not a whole lot of money. Like, listen, if you're gonna have a hit out on my life, you better at least get $1 billion. I'm worth at least $1 billion, right, sweets? She said I'm priceless. May the Lord benediction. I'm trying to figure out how to get a benediction. She said priceless. We're about to go somewhere. Sold Jesus for not a whole lot of money. How do you think Jesus felt being betrayed? He was human. Now, don't forget, he was divine, but he was also human. He was human. And that's why it's so crazy for them to believe or to accept what we believe. But to me, that's the beautiful part about what we believe. If he's so powerful, why can't a God so powerful humble himself? That's powerful in itself. You're so powerful, but yet you're so restrained. Woo! He's powerful and restrained. Powerful yet disciplined. Woo! I'm about to throw this Bible at somebody. He's disciplined and yet dunamis. That's why Jesus, what he is doing right now, is so comforting. Because if Jesus is God and Jesus is doing this one thing on our behalf, he's going to get his way. So when we say, not my will, but yours be done, we're covered. I hope that makes sense. Amen? Because Jesus in Romans 8:38, it says, who can say that God's people are guilty? Who can say God's people are guilty? Everybody say, no one. Everybody say, I'm not guilty. Christ Jesus died for us, but that's not all. Everybody say, that's not all. He was also raised from the dead. Romans 8:38 summarizes everything. And now he is at God's right hand side, right side, speaking to God for us. We don't have time to deal with the Trinity today because that could be confusing, and I understand. But one translation says, who then will condemn us? Jesus said, I did not come to condemn Alexis. I did not come to condemn Malaysia. I did not come to condemn the world, but to save the world through Jesus Christ. So who can condemn us? No one. For Christ died for us, was raised to life for us. He is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. Imagine Jesus pleading a case for who? Everybody standing. Jesus is saying, God, they are humans. They keep sinning, but they don't know how to get out of this generational curse. Can you grace them out? Can you give them another chance? Can you give them strategies? They are confused. Jesus is pleading for us. Romans 8:38. He is pleading our case. He is pleading our case. Ain't that awesome? Jesus says, their mind is messed up. They're messed up in the head. He says, God, they need your spirit. Do something to like push him off of a horse. Like, who was that in the Bible? Was pushed off the horse? And he was persecuting Christians. I know the answer. I'm just trying to create dialogue. It was Paul. Give them an impact event like that so they can change. And so perhaps April the 8th, today's April the 8th, right? April the 9th. Perhaps April the 9th, guys, will be an impact event in your life that you will be talking about for years and years to come. I don't know what it is, but in this moment, I'm believing God for you guys that whatever needs to be fixed, he fixes it right now. Amen. And whatever needs to be healed, he heals it right now. That's an impact event. Today could be an impact eventful day. Amen. You go home and you get a phone call and it's a positive impact event. Amen. So can you lift your hands and thank God for the biggest impact event of all times? I will finish this first Sunday, if that's okay. And that impact event was everything I've read in Romans 8:38. And it deserves one more round of applause, one more worship, one more thank you, Jesus. It deserves one more corporately, one more my hallelujah. It deserves one more, just one more effort in this corporate setting. So impactful that it deserves just one more. One more, one more. Brand new mercies deserve one more worship. My hallelujah belongs to you. Let's lift it up, guys. My hallelujah. My hallelujah.